And well, if you have your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter number 28, and I want to look, please, at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Father, I do thank you for this night. I pray, Lord, as we enter into your word tonight, that you would cleanse me of sin. Lord, that you would empty me of myself, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, speak to me and speak through me, I pray. Father, I pray for the community around this church and in this state, in this country, even in the world, Lord, that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we know from your word that you desire somebody from every nationality, every people group, to come to know Christ as Savior. And Lord, you're worthy of it all. I pray that you'd be with the preaching time now. And Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. When I was in college, I had a class entitled Theology of Youth Work. In that class was the vice president of Crown College, Scott Pauley was his name. He asked us this question for an assignment. He said, "What is the most important verse concerning youth in the entire Bible?" So a bunch of us got our heads together. We started thinking about what verse could be the most important surrounding young people. We thought about the book in Timothy where it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." That could possibly be a very, very important verse concerning reaching young people. Or we could go to the verses where it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Jesus is interested in reaching young people and touching young people and making a difference in young people's lives. But when we came to that class that day, the instructor told us to go to this very passage that we're looking at tonight, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It is the verse for the church. This is the verse that is famous. It is also known as the Great Commission. It is for the church. And in case you're wondering, who is the church? We are the church. I am part of the church. You're part of the church. And Jesus here in verse number 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So before Jesus tells us to do some things, commands us to do some things, he says, "I have the power, I have the right to be able to command you to do these things." So Jesus is the one that has told us to go into all the world, not just the United States, not just other places, but into the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus has commanded us to go with the gospel. But I want to draw your attention tonight to probably one of the most unreached people groups in the United States of America. There's over 60 million school-aged children in the United States of America, of which, am I not on? He's got me. Thanks, Remo. You know what? I might just stay right here. That's hard for me to do, so y'all pray for me, okay? I've got to move. Amen. Where were we talking about? Yes, youth ministry. Oh, there's a... We on. All right. Okay, so now I can move. Back to what I was talking about. 60 million school-aged children in the United States of America. I draw your attention to 1,500 of those young people in America. Every day in America, 1,500 young people try to commit suicide. Every day in America, 1,500 young people try to commit suicide. That's every 63 seconds in the United States of America. Every 21 minutes, a young person succeeds in trying to take their life, they commit suicide. Today in the United States of America, 15,000 young people will try drugs for the very first time. Today in the United States of America, over 2,000 teenage girls will become expectant mothers. This year in the United States, 1,000 children will be left and abandoned, left for dead, 1,000 of them. I think about the youth in the church. Think about this. When young people graduate from high school, statistics say that 80% of those young people will graduate from church. So think about that. That is one out of every five young people that graduate from high school will never darken the door of a church ever again. One out of five, 80%. And my burden is to reach young people. I've been surrounded but for the last few months by young people every day working on the buses, trying to teach classes in the school. And the Lord has really burdened my heart for young people. And I hope that I can transfer that burden to you tonight, because there's young people all around this area that are looking for answers and they cannot find it. But the answer is always Jesus Christ. And the answer must be told to those by those who know the answer, which is us. If we know Jesus Christ, we should tell those people the answer. So for the next few moments, I just want to, it's not a fancy outline or anything like that, but I just want to share my heart. If you look at the verses here, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Again, that's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is for us. And number one, I want you to consider this. Our job is to evangelize sinners. Evangelize sinners, number one. That is our job. The Bible never says, open the doors of the church and let all the lucky sinners come in and find the answers. But the Bible does say, go ye therefore, go out the doors, go to the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in, evangelize the sinner. Let me ask you a question. If somebody came to you tonight or sometime in the course of your life and said, how can I be saved? Would you be able to tell them the gospel? Would you be able to tell them how they can have their sins forgiven? I'll never forget it. I was in the Crown College Choir for 1 year, and we actually got to sing at Carnegie Hall, not in New York, in West Virginia. Whole different experience. And so we took our buses, and we loaded up there for a choir trip. We were going to sing Handel's Messiah. And when I say we were going to sing, I mean I was going to lip sync all the words because it's really high. But we had a good time. So there we were, Carnegie Hall, West Virginia. Amazing. And on the way back, we'd stopped at a place to get something to eat, and our buses were there. Our buses say Temple Baptist Church and Crown College on them. And I'll never forget it. Some lady came on our bus. She had read the side of our bus. She came on our bus and said, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to find my way in heaven? How can I know for sure that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Now, we're a bus full of preacher boys that are licking our chops ready to get at this one, all right? But what if it was you? What if it was you on that bus and the person came to you and said, how can I have my sins forgiven? Would you be able to tell that person that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them, that all men are sinners, that sin must be paid for, that Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins, that we might have our sins forgiven and a home in heaven when we die one day? Would you be able to take them to scripture verses that explain, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Would you be able to take them to Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you be able to tell them, for the wages of their sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? I wager to say that some people who've been in church a very, very long time have no idea how to win somebody to the Lord. And the question is asked, if somebody came to you, would you be able to do that? But here we have our job. It's to evangelize sinners. The reason that we're here is to worship God and glorify God, but we're still here so we can tell other people how they can have their sins forgiven. Evangelize the sinner. Secondly, we move from evangelizing sinners to baptizing saints. Look again at our verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. This is what discipleship is. Andy, could you come up here for just a moment? I'm going to get him real good. Oh, yes, this is what you get for slamming the door in my face. You wouldn't let me play with your G.I. Joes when I was a kid.
That was Rick's idea.
That was Rick's idea. All right. So I have Andy. I've evangelized the sinner. He's going to love me for this. Right? Andy's been saved, right? From a young age, correct? Amen. All right, discipleship is this. You're leading them in the next step. Could you walk this way? All right, Christian life. Discipleship is leading somebody step by step. So now that Andrew's been saved, He's been born again, have his sins forgiven. Now he's going to take the next step, which is baptism, all right? So we take another step. All right? We're teaching him, we're baptizing the saint. We've evangelized the sinner, baptizing the saint. Now a third thing is we're going to catechize the servant. Now what I mean by that, we see the word catechize. It's always referred to as a doctrine, a false doctrine, but the only thing it means is teaching or training. So we have evangelizing the sinners, baptizing the saints, and then we're going to catechize the servants. So that means training and teaching. We're teaching the Christians, we're discipling new Christians to take the next step in their Christian life. So, Andy, you've been saved, you've been baptized, we got you in the water. Amen, Brother Ben shot a rooster, killed a hen, that's great. What's the next step? How about reading your Bible? Take the next step. What's another step we could take? Church attendance, that's a good one. Take the next step. What's another step we can take? Giving. Oh, that's a good one. How about another one? Inviting other people to church. Taking the next step. That's what discipleship is.
It's taking somebody who's newly saved and taking them step by step, leading them to the next step. Get them saved. Don't just stop at a profession of faith, but bring them to the next step. Thanks, Andy. You can be seated. I appreciate you very much. What a great guy. He's swell. Oh, man, he's a great guy. I love that man very much. Okay, I'll get that money after for saying all those nice things for me. But discipleship is that very thing. You're taking new Christians and you're reproducing yourself in those people. Step by step. You give them the gospel and they accept Christ as their Savior, but don't stop right there. So many times in independent fundamentalism, we stop at the profession of faith. Oh, we got them to sign a card. That's good. They've got their fire insurance. But no, the Great Commission is not just getting a profession of faith. It is not just getting somebody to say that they've been saved, but it is leading them. It is helping them take the next steps in their Christian life. That is what discipleship is. That is what the Great Commission is. The reason I'm here tonight is because this church didn't stop at a profession of faith. They kept going. I was a rough character coming into the church. Many of you remember that. But you kept going. You were patient with me. Occasionally you'd take me out to get a lot of bites to eat. And I appreciate that very much. But you kept working. It's helping Christians take the next step in their Christian life. So you have evangelizing the sinner, you have baptizing the saint, you have catechizing the servant, and then lastly, for this part, we have mobilizing the soldier. The point I have with Brother Andy is getting him to go step by step so now he can be where I am. Now he's the one that's evangelizing the sinners. Now he's the one that's teaching people that they should be baptized. Now he's the one that's teaching all things that God is teaching in the Bible. By the way, if you're looking for something to teach, here's our manual right here. Well, we ought to teach people how to tie a tie. Rick Hatcher taught me how to tie a tie in the old building. I remember that. I still can't get the hang of it, but that's all right. But the main thing that we should be teaching is God's Word. And that's the main thing that we should be teaching. Teaching them what sort of things that you have won, okay? And so you want to take them step by step until now they're the ones that are reaching other people. You want them to get them to the top. It's like a big pyramid. The bottom of the pyramid is somebody who's not saved, they're unchurched. Now they're coming to church, they've been saved, they're taking steps to follow Christ. And when they get to the top, now they're doing the thing that I was doing. They're reaching other people. They're teaching other people other things about the Bible. They're trying to be a soldier. They're training other people. And that is what the Great Commission is. It is taking Jesus where He wants to go, but it's not stopping at a profession of faith, but keep on going with baptizing and teaching and then mobilizing them to do the very same thing that you've been trained to do. That's what youth ministry is. That's what the Great Commission is. That's the thing that we need to get busy doing. That's what God has left us here on this earth to do, is to reach other people and train other people to give the gospel. And when I think about youth ministry, again, I'm so burdened for young people in America. You know, it's everybody's job to reach young people. Everybody. Whether it be in Awana, whether it be in your neighborhood, at your job, whether it be on the bus ministry. By the way, I hope some of you will get involved in the bus ministry that we have here. What a great opportunity to win people to the Lord. I see Mrs. Works back there. She's a bus kid. Amen. Bus kids, get me some candy after the service. That'd be good. But get involved. Reaching young people. Reaching anybody, for that matter, takes leadership. Leadership says, this is where I want to go. And the ultimate goal is to conform people to the image of Christ. You want them to act like Jesus Christ acts. You want them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Leadership says, this is where I'm going. I want them to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? And then another thing is, we have leadership and then we have love. Leadership says, this is where we're going to go. But love says, this is how you're going to be treated while we go there. Sometimes when we go to churches, I've been to a lot of churches, I've been able to speak in a lot of churches, but sometimes some churches have what we call the Christian police. You know what I'm talking about. They got Christian police. They watch everybody that comes through the door, and they look for the people that maybe don't dress the right way, or they don't look the right way, or they see a fellow with an earring in his ear, and they immediately cast judgment. They're the Christian police. Well, I want you to know that you have to love people where they're at. That's what Jesus did. John chapter 4, He went to the woman at the well, loved her exactly where she was at, and then brought her to the next step. Leadership says, this is where we're going. We want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Love says, this is how you're going to be treated while we're going there. I'm so thankful for people who were patient with me And I'm so thankful for people who took time to teach me and to bring me along. This is what the Great Commission is. It is leadership. We want this person to be like Christ. We want them to be saved. We want them to live a Christian life. And then love, we're going to love them to the next point in their Christian life. People didn't just yell at me all the time. I remember one time going to the Hatcher's house. Maybe you remember this, Brother Hatcher. And I took the Lord's name in vain. I said, oh my goodness, whatever. But Mr. Hatcher said, we don't cuss in this house. And I thought, really? I didn't know that was a cuss word, but he was very gracious. He's very kind about it. You know, he loved me to the next level. My feelings weren't hurt or anything like that, but he just took the time. He cared about me. He loved me enough to tell me that we don't believe that. He was teaching me the Bible. Leadership, love, labor. Ministry is labor, is it not, Andy? Sometimes you have to put up with a lot. I love this, Brother Andy. Brother Andy, I locked my wallet and my luggage in the trailer, and now I can't eat. Andy sits there, gets ulcers on his head, and starts to shake, and his blood pressure rises. You know, the ministry is work. Reaching people is work. It is work. Sometimes people will use you, but it is work. It is labor. There's a type of people that sometimes they think that they look at the ministry as some kind of job or reaching people as some kind of job, and they're lazy with it. I want you to know reaching people is no place to be lazy. It takes a lot of labor. It takes a lot of labor. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It costs money. Sometimes it costs time. But I want you to know that you have leadership and you have love and you have labor. Especially when you're working with young people, it is a labor. Sometimes you have to get out of the van when you go on visitation with them, right, Andy? I'm just kidding. Sometimes it costs work. When you're in Awana and everybody's driving you crazy, you have to work through some things. It takes work. It takes labor. It takes leadership. It takes love. It also takes listening. Sometimes we need to close our mouth a little bit and just open up our ears. Now, I'm good at the ear part, okay? Pastor and I are ear brothers. He said that, not me, so I'm not going to be in trouble, right, Andy? Who knows? Maybe this is the last time I'm speaking here. Hope you enjoy it. But listening. You can find out a lot about people that you just listen to. And stop talking all the time, trying to do this and trying to do that, but just listen. Especially with young people. It's hard sometimes to get young people to open up to you, but why don't you just be quiet and listen for just a minute. Be surprised at the things you'll start to hear. Listen. Open up your ears and listen to them. And you'll be surprised what you'll find out about them. So you've got leadership, you've got love, you've got labor, you've got listening. Then you've got laughter. Christian people, sometimes it seems like we don't enjoy the Christian life at all. Some people look at the Christian life as, I'm not going to fall off, don't worry. We look at the Christian life as a set of rules. Do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. But I want you to know you should enjoy your Christian life. People that are lost, that don't know Christ as their Savior, ought to know that you're enjoying your Christian life. I have a blast when I'm working with young people. It is so much fun. I wish I could tell you every story. I could write a book about it. I remember one time I had this kid with me. His name was LaVon. And we went out on visitation on Saturday morning. And up the street from us in the neighborhood we were at was a Jehovah's Witness. LaVon says, well, who's that? And I said, well, LaVon, that's a Jehovah's false witness. And he said, okay. And so I didn't think anything of it. Of course, we go to the next street, and LaVon's very loud, and he yells at the top of his lungs, hey, Brother Kevin, there is a Jehovah's false witness. And I paused as the Jehovah's Witness looked at my way, and I said, LaVon, you got to be quiet, man. And you know, it's a fun time. You have to have laughter when you're working with young people. One of the funniest stories I had with a kid, his name is DeSanta. It was LaVon's brother. They used to come with me on Saturday visitation all the time. And like you said, you reap what you sow. When I took him to McDonald's, he would eat his food, he would eat my food, he would eat somebody else's food, and he was one of those people that goes up to the drink fountain and gets every little bit of drink in one cup and drinks it. That type of kid, I love the kid. DeSanta was a very talkative kid, just like the person who brought him to church a lot, which is me, talk a lot. But DeSanta came on the visitation with us on Saturday, and it was my custom to always buy him something at the gas station before we went on a visitation so he can get something to eat. Most kids would get a Skittle, like I would, or some kids would get Reese's, or they'd get a bag of fruit snacks. Not DeSanta. DeSanta always got spicy pickled sausage. Tawana Mamas. Tasty, smelly, all that good stuff. And so DeSanta opened up his stanky Tawana Mama spicy pickled sausage, and he shoved it down his mouth. And I said, oh, it's going to be another good day on the soul winning track. And he was talkative as usual. We would go to the lunch at the college after visitation. He would get all the food that he could. And that particular day, we had chili in bread bowls. And so that was going to upset his stomach. And not only did he get the chili, he also got the jalapeno chips that come with it. So he was just, I said, man, I need to go get a bottle of Tums for this kid. But anyway, it was a beautiful day in East Tennessee. After DeSanta had eaten a whole lot, it was a beautiful day. We were driving him on the way home. Now, it was me in the front seat I was driving. In the driver's seat was DeSanta, or not the driver's seat, the passenger seat was DeSanta. Behind him was one of my good friends, Jerry Clement, missionary to England. And then behind me was DeSanta's brother, Levon. We were just traveling down the road, 75 degrees outside, the windows down. We were having a great time. Well, DeSanta had already had his spicy pickled sausage. He'd already had his chili bread bowl. He already had his jalapeno chips, and who knows how much soda he drank that day. And I noticed very quickly that DeSanta was very quiet. I said, Dee, what's the matter, man? He said, man, I'm all right. Dee, what's the matter, man? Oh, man, I'm good. Slowly but surely, he began to scoot his way over to the window. You know what's coming, right? And I said, Dee, are you okay? Because this ain't my car, man. He said, I'm all right. And he's scooting his way over to the window. Just slowly but surely, he made his way, and he poked his head out the window, and you know what happens next. Tijuana Mama and spicy pickled sausage and chips and all kinds of stuff all over I-75. But the funny thing about it was, not that, it was that it went out the window, and then it came in the back window. And my friend Jared goes, hey, Kevin, is it raining? I said, no. Dee's going to pay for your dry cleaning, all right? You know, you laugh with the kids. At first, I was like, I was a little angry, but you laugh with the kids. People need to see you enjoying your Christian life. Enough people get the idea that Christians are a bunch of deadbeats that don't have any fun, that live by a whole bunch of rules. No, God never meant it for that. God meant you to enjoy your Christian life, to fellowship with God, to be happy and to be joyous. That is what the Christian life is, and other people need to see that you are happy with Christ and happy in Christ. Otherwise, they'll not want a thing that you want. Why do we reach people? Why is it that we do this? Okay, we've said leadership, we've said love, we've said labor, we've said listening and laughter. And then we have loyalty. Not loyalty to people, but loyalty to God. The reason that we reach people is not just to simply reach people. If you reach people just for reaching people, you're going to get discouraged somewhere along the way. But we stay loyal to Jesus Christ because He is worthy of the reward of His suffering. Jesus Christ came to this earth, God's Son, the Son of God. He came and He died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. Do you realize what He went through? He was spit upon. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was despised and rejected. His Father turned His back on Him. And He did that so He can redeem you and me and the world. The reason we stay loyal is not because of people. The reason we stay loyal is because we want to please God. Jesus Christ is worthy. Take you over to Revelation chapter 4 sometime. One day, we're all going to bow before His throne and cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's the reason we do what we do. It's not just for funny stories and not just to reach people. We don't reach people for people. We reach people for God. Because one day He wants to see people from every kindred and every tongue bowing before Him, giving praise to His name. That is the purpose of youth ministry. That is the purpose of the Great Commission, bringing glory to God. So I ask you, as we wind it down, it's important to reach young people. You know, somebody said we're always a generation away from being biblically illiterate. I told the story on Christmas Eve about the kid I talked to about the Christmas story. He thought Jesus was born in New York. People don't know the Bible. And the people who know the Bible must tell those who don't know the Bible. I love what Pastor said. He says, if the Bible's not true, then nothing matters. You can close it and you can live for the life any way you want to. If the Bible's not true, then nothing matters. But you know what? It is true. So you know what that means? It means nothing else matters. There's people outside the walls of Beacon Baptist Church that you come in contact with every day of your life that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm burdened for young people. I hope that you'll look after and try to run to young people and bring them into the church It's worth it. It's worth it. I thank God. I don't even know the person that knocked on Pastor Blaylock's door when he was 12 years old. They knocked, I guess, for 3 months. Finally, his mom said, "Jimmy, you better get on that bus because they're never going to stop coming." Well, he went on that bus, and the very next day, he got saved. He's our pastor. He's been our pastor for 26 years now. Reaching young people is worth it. Hey, I'm sure glad somebody reached me. I'm sure glad my mom is here. My dad is at work tonight. But somebody reached me, and in turn, my family's been reached. I'm so glad. Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it to reach people. It's worth it because He is worthy. And let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for Your goodness, mercy to us. I love You, Lord. And I thank You for the opportunity to reach people for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, help us to seek out young people in the bus ministry in Awana. Help us to love them. Help us to labor for them. Help us to laugh with them and listen to them. Help us to stay loyal to You, I pray. Father, we'll thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, I pray that something that was said here tonight would be a blessing and a help and an encouragement. And we'll thank You for what You're going to do, I pray, in Jesus' name.